Blog Talk Radio.
What you in a rush for? What you trying to meet your maker, darling? Oh, you running out of time, huh? The time ain't even real. You really need to chill. It's all an illusion. You getting mixed up in the fusion. Whatever it is you try to see, you can sit down and just believe. But I wouldn't ever be the same old day. I'm insane. Ah, God
to sleep. God bless me. God help me. Oh, I think I'm insane. God bless me. God help me. Ooh, I think I'm insane. Why you wanna play so bad? Why you wanna play so bad? Why you wanna play so
I'm turn into a dream. If you took doctor to me, what am I feeling? Cause I thought it was over. Got me thinking my feelings over. You keep doing it over and over. You keep calling me back. I'm just gonna get closer. You pulling me closer and closer. For me, you're like over and over. Cause you keep calling me back. La 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 la. Why you keep calling me back? I'd rather we never pick up, but can we slip up and mix up sometimes? You say it don't mean it, just want it when it's convenient. Am I crazy for waiting on my slide? Now you calling me special when you know I can't have you. When I'm on to the next one, oh, now you wanna get aggressive. Oh, do you mean you keep on making me deep? Nightmares turn into a dream. If you took doctor to me, what am I feeling? Cause I thought it was over. Got me thinking my feelings over. You keep doing it over and over. You keep calling me back. I'm just trying to get closer. You're pulling me closer and closer. For me, you're like over and over. Cause you keep calling me back. La 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 la. You walking on a thin line. We've been through it like 10 times. I'ma put you in line. Yeah, I had you on an incline. Now I don't even wanna reply. I'ma have to decline. Yeah. You show me I don't wanna rewind. Yeah. No, you a 10, but that attitude ain't fine.
Yours is mine and ours. love to you for hours. Laying on your chest for hours. Telling you jokes for hours. Holding you close for hours.
Sorry, it's a little low. It's all right. It's going to play in background music. Good evening, one and all, good people. Welcome to PP Radio, Universal For Real Entertainment Network, sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? Listen, tonight, here, on War Council, we're going to get it real heavy, real fast, real quick. Get it ready for y'all. Unabashed truths, stuff that we need to talk about, the shit that be on your mind sometimes when you be in a relationship or you're making choices, you're trying to figure out what it is, where you're going to make a choice that's good for you or bad for you, regardless of the fact, here's where we state facts. Listen, tonight is about making choices in relationships. Now, just for the people in the rear, War Council is egalitarian. Conscious community panel discussion that dialogues around current events, community issues, as well as relationships. And tonight, we're talking about making choices in relationships. And some of the topics we'll be covering tonight is which choice is best, your last choice, your current, or your next one. Now, we have to give props to Wendell because he put that together. You know, and Wendell is super eloquent, that guy. Handsome, the bearded one. Most of the guys in War Council have beards. Hint, hint, clue, clue. Anyway, how do you deal with being the second choice? Are you choosing mates based on compatibility or connection? We got to thank Danielle for that one, my favorite Philly John, best friend. And are you complacent in your relationships? Do relationships have a season? We're going to talk about this and more. It's a free-willing conversation. We're going to let our esteemed panel of conscious, conscientious creatives hash this out over scintillating conversation, good music, and a call-in that you can ask questions or give opinion. You can also hit me or any other people that you know in the back channel, and they can bring it up to the forefront. Don't be afraid to ask questions. That's what we're here for. We're going to get some things right. We're going to get some things wrong. But most importantly, we're going to dialogue. We're going to talk, and we're going to get that done. So, while you're listening, we're going to start bringing in our people. Because, you know, the War Council is a bunch of dope individuals. Fresh. Incredible. You don't meet them, get to know them. Super fantastic people. First person we're going to bring is the person who gave us the title for this evening. That is Brother Wendell. We're going to bring him in right now. Brother Wendell.
Peace, peace. Greetings, peace. War Council. Peace to the family. Glad to be out here tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for coming, good brother. Love having you here. Thank you for the title. Very incredible. And if it's going to be like the discussion that was in our chat, I think it's going to be very, very good and explosive in a great way. All right. So we're going to move from you. We're going to move to South Kakalaka, the bearded one, it's not bearded, it's a saddle. Let me stop. Mr. Pineapple Calligraphy, the station manager here. This is Pretty Radio Universe, Mr. Van Meadows. Mr. Van Meadows, are you there, sir?
Good evening, good evening. Good evening, good brothers. I am here. Glad to be a part of the panel once again. Mojave, Wendell, my brothers.
What's happening? The beauty of it all. Of course, I'm going to bring in the person who got this all rolling for us with the clip. My favorite Philly John, one of my favorite Philly Johns, Miss Danielle. Danielle, are you there?
I'm here. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening. La Perla Negra.
Hi, you know, poetic.
All right. We're going to bring in VA's finest, the best lips in the business, a.k.a. Miss Lisa Lips. What's happening,
hey,
Miss Lisa
beautiful.
Lips? How are you?
Hey, what's going on? I'm good. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
How's everybody?
Good.
Hey, your voice, Lisa.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. And also from South Carolina, one of my favorite teachers in the entire world, Miss Tanya Gordon.
How's everyone? Great to be back.
Hey. Thank you, Tanya. We're glad to have you back.
One time for all these South Carolina folks. I'm born and raised in Charleston, so I'm loving this.
I guess, you
that's
know, and my forebears is from Charleston. They Geechee. So shout out to the Geechees one time. All right. We're going to go with area code 205. I don't recognize the number because, you know, I don't read. Who may I ask for speaking?
You don't recognize the number?
Uh-oh.
I don't recognize the number.
Do you recognize the voice?
I sure do.
No, I don't do that either.
You know, long as that matters, that's all that matters. This is Black Rose.
Hey, Black Rose.
I'm just giving everybody problems.
Hey,
I'm
Mama.
Hey, how y'all
what's
doing?
Happening? All right, that's
doing
what's up. Thank you for coming through. Thank you, Black Rose. I'm going to be there.
Yeah, I told y'all I was going to be there. If I'm off, I'm going to be there.
Right, listen, I'm telling you right now, it's about to be on like popcorn. And of course, the Texas Titan herself, Joan, what's happening?
What's happening?
All right. Now, for anybody else that's listening, if I'm missing you, you got to hit one so I know it's you, because there's numbers on here that I don't recognize, and it's bad for me. So you're going to have to figure this out. And we're going to get to it straight away. Now we got to ask, you know, the ground rules, as we know. You know, we don't talk over each other. We wait. We take our time. You know, it's more of a shared experience, not a arguing experience. You know, we can debate, make our points, but we're always in respect, always in love. And I love everybody on this panel for being the super dope people that you happen to be. And we will continue to go on and rock what we're going to do with this topic. So are we all here? We all ready? We all rocking? We
right
go?
Here, ready.
Ready.
All right, so one of the things, I was going to see if I could play it. I was going to try this out to see if it could work. But I was going to play the clip, play the clip and play it through the whatchamacallit. Okay, all right. I just got another message, I guess. Hold on for a second. Mother of Dragons, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right. I just got the message. I was like, okay. All right. Everybody, welcome Mother of Dragons back to the panel. It's been a minute
good
for her,
dragon.
Too.
Hey. What's up?
Peace.
What's up?
All right. I'm going to see
back.
If I can play the beginning clip to see if this could work out. So forgive me as I try to... work through it, you know, if it doesn't work out, we'll just do something else. But I'm going to try to play this clip through the phone and see if it works out. Because I'm about to get a thing that will allow me to play directly into it, so hold on. Plus, my setup is about to change in about a week, so y'all gotta let this out. All right, so y'all ready? I'm going to stop this music. We're gonna test this out. Y'all ready?
Y'all hate me.
All right.
From people like me. So I'm going to go ahead and just let y'all watch this video.
Going off of compatibility just by itself can be a trap. Because first off, you can be compatible with a demon. Like, devils know what you like, too. The type of women that you like, you want her to have more curves in the highway. The type of man that you like, you want him tall with broad shoulders and a beard. The enemy can send you pain, gift-wrapped as your preference. So that's just the first thing about how compatibility can be a trap. The second thing is compatibility is season-based. It is possible for you to be compatible with the season of their struggle, but not the season of their success. I want somebody who's going to be there for me if I hit rock bottom. But what if they can only handle your rock bottom, but they can't handle your upward season? So now the question becomes, are we really compatible, or do we just share similar dysfunction? We're both broken in the same area. We're both wounded over the same things. We have the same feelings over the same wounds, so we end up sharing hearts. But what happens if one of you heals and the other one doesn't? Because just because you heal doesn't mean that they're going to heal. And just because you heal doesn't mean that you can make them heal. What happens if one of you heal? You will remove what y'all had in common. And I want us to be so whole and so secure that when we heal, we don't end up feeling guilty because they're crawling, but we now have wings. It's not just about compatibility. It's about suitability. Does this individual suit my assignment well? Do they complement what it is that God has me doing in earth while I'm here in time? When a man or a woman has found that, that's a blessing. Because when God gives a blessing, you're not going to have to exchange your mental health as payment to keep it. So maybe you're so exhausted because you're breastfeeding toxicity in order to maintain an image of being happy over the very thing that you told everybody was a blessing.
So I will repeat. Normalize getting to know and to understand your position in people's lives. Normalize trying to understand people for exactly what and who they are. You cannot alter anybody. You cannot change anybody. You can only change your view of yourself and the world that you live in. So, y'all heard it from somebody else. I don't be talking in my podcast for no reason. Somebody gets it. Somebody else gets it. Love you more so that you understand your assignment. Be able to release in order to receive.
All right. How did that come through? I was hoping that came through clear.
That was good.
Yeah, it came through fine.
Yeah, yeah, it came through
well.
Yeah.
All right. So we're starting this discussion with this just in case because as a good brother Wendell framed it, making choices in relationships, because we all have a choice when we decide to be in a relationship or not. We can choose to be with someone that we feel we're compatible with. We can choose to be with someone we feel we have a connection with. We can choose to be with someone that we feel is suitable for us. But when I played that clip, you know, it's heavy. It's got a lot of stuff. And it sparked off a lot of great discussion in our chat. You know, so we're going to talk about the pros and cons, but because I'm going to run through the list, you know, and I'm going to do one on, one off, you know, male, female, female, male, you know, we're going to do it like that, so we make it nice and even. I'm going to let Brother Wendell start the framework of this particular question of what it is, and then I'm going to go to Joan, and then I'm going to go to Van, and then I'm going to go to Danielle, then I'm going to go to Tanya, and then I'm going to go to Black Rose. All right, so we're going to go with it like that, and then we're going to do Mother of Dragons. All right, that's how we're going to rock. All right, we ready?
Let's get it.
Oh, this is going to be good. So Wendell, in framing making the good relationship choices, and being that I put this out on the floor so we can all respond to it, so you can also respond to what you heard and talk about the pros and cons of that, but you can also give your particular opinion. What is your opinion on what she was presenting through what the brother was saying in the TikTok?
The way I see it is, and I've stated this before, that we have the right and the responsibility to create the relationships that best serve us. And in order to know what best serves you, you have to recognize where you are. And that way you'll be able to properly position people relative to where you are. So when he was saying that things are seasonal and that the devil or the enemy or whatnot, you know, can send you pain disguised as your preference, that all is definitely very valid, because ultimately we are the ones that will accept an invitation that someone presents for us to be in their lives and vice versa.
And we have to discern and be able to see, all right, am I at a place where I can handle what it is that I say that I desire? Otherwise, what you desire will end up destroying you because you can't handle the weight of what comes along with that particular desire, which is why healing and self-worth, self-work, doing your shadow work and everything comes, is so important and comes into play. Knowing yourself is going to help you to best be known and recognized by others, and it will give you the opportunity to know and recognize others when they come to you, so you can know if that is someone that you need to or should invite into your life. But everything is, it's all about emotional self-management, and we have the responsibility to manage ourselves, and if we don't, then by default, we're abdicating that role to someone else who has no vested interest in managing our lives to an extent greater or better than what we are supposed to do for ourselves. So, yeah, I appreciate. I could definitely resonate with what the sister was saying about the video.
All right, dope. Joan.
You know, Wendell made a great point, and it reminded me of something my grandmother used to say about inviting. She used to say, every invitation that's extended, you don't have to accept. And I think sometimes we accept invitations to stroke our own ego. You know, sometimes we bring people into our lives in a hope that they help us to heal from the last thing, or, you know, so that we can position ourselves publicly as better, as healed. It's one of the things that I've been working with a few people on is weaponizing our healing against others, and really understanding that healing is a part of life's journey, because you may heal from one thing as you're experiencing something new. And so it's our responsibility, as Wendell
said. Hold on, Joan. I want to catch, you said weaponizing our healing. Could you go a little bit deeper into that and explain that?
You know, it's once we develop a certain amount of self-worth, we tend to look down on those who are struggling in certain areas. You know, it's almost like when you get your credit fixed, you can't understand how so-and-so, you know, they make all this money and why their credit not right and they need to make better decisions and I can't, you know. And so we do that with our healing. Well, how long is she going to be in that relationship? How long is he going to feel the way he feels about how his heart was broken 5 years ago or whatever it is? And so we make ourselves feel better. We weaponize it against other people. We use our healing to hurt others. And it creates a different type of unbalance in the world. Instead of us reaching over to teach, we use it to judge and to hurt. But the other thing is about the invitation is also knowing when it's time for you to leave the party. You know, I went to a fantastic concert the other day, and it was about 5,000 people there. And I couldn't stay to the end because I know me in traffic. I didn't want to be there when all of the other people were leaving. So I had to pick an appropriate point to get out of that situation so that I wouldn't cause myself more damage, more frustration, more heartache, more pain. Me being more tired than I was already going to be the next morning. So it's, even if I accept the invitation, knowing when it's the appropriate time to leave this party so that I can still self-manage, I think is one of the things that's super important for us to be mindful of.
All right, so knowing when to leave the party, knowing when, yeah, not accept the invitation. right, so we're going to go from you over to Van Meadows real quick.
You know, I agree with what's already been said. Certainly being a discerner of things instead of being blinded during your healing process. I listened to the video about twice today, and I understand what she was trying to convey by presenting the video. And the brother had some valid points about not being able to say the things that we need to say to a female counterpart as far as healing, as far as hiding, because we're not received well. And trying to be better for me, the shadow work, the self-help, the professional help, before you allow someone else into your environment, it's essential. And you know, Dawu made some points on the last War Council when he was talking about you don't know what's going to trigger you if you don't have anyone there presenting those assignments or those things that may trigger you during your healing process. And that's a beautiful point that Joan made about weaponizing our healing. You can hurt people when you're healing. You know, I've noticed that for myself in my own healing, oftentimes I won't allow anyone into that healing space that I'm healing because I feel like it's on me to be better. And being able to vocalize it to someone who's supposed to be quote unquote there for you, that's a difficult process. You know, so very valid points everyone has made. And discerning, the man said that your preference can come in a form of pain. A demon can be your preference, because throughout our journey, I'm pretty sure all of us has had a demon wrapped up as our preference at some point. I know I have. And God knows if I had not been blind by what my preference wanted, I would have picked up on a lot of things and avoided a lot of the hurt that came with being with that, with my preference.
Mm. Wow. we have to get into that real. I'm gonna come back to that. I will put that in the parking lot because that's serious business. Danielle, the Perla Negra, your opinion.
Okay. I want to say this. I agree with everything that everybody was saying. During my healing process, I did not weaponize my healing. What I did, because I was trying to understand myself, was just pay attention to other people's relationships and their attitudes and their behaviors from being triggered by the other ones that caused them trauma or some kind of stress in their life. I'll say it like this. The universe is based in abundance. And as long as we are following our joy, it will send you someone more aligned with your frequency. But I think you need to be more aligned with yourself. Make yourself your preference. Okay. And that doesn't mean go out there and start looking down at people or quote unquote weaponizing it. Just accepting everything about yourself. I did a show on do you love yourself enough to be completely open, okay? And that means every part of you, the way you think, the way you accept, the way you look at yourself, the way you want to present yourself, which is a lot to do with ego. just every inch of yourself, accept it. And then I think you will be more open to recognizing this so-called demon and stop it before it even becomes a part of you or enters your energy. I lost my train of thought, y'all. You know, I'm big on energy exchange, because everything living has a vibration, and that's how you're recognized anyway, through your frequency. And if you can align with yourself, I think that plays a major part in you healing without causing harm to others. It is very, very, it's extremely hard to be transparent with someone that you are supposed to, you feel like you should be able to trust. You feel like you can just be, you know, yourself with. But you have to make yourself your preference first. And you can start loving everything and accepting everything about yourself. You will start to understand how other people think, why they react and act the way they act towards you, why they approach you a certain way. And it won't throw you off balance because you're already being balanced with yourself. And that's all I can give y'all for right now.
Okay. So we're going to go from you. I'm going to go to Tanya.
So a couple of things have stuck out to me that have been said so far. Knowing yourself, knowing oneself, and discernment. So from the video, I remember him speaking about the bonding. And the thing that stuck out to me about the bonding was discernment and knowing yourself. Because I feel like becoming attached to somebody, if I bond to begin with, or on negativity and hurt, there's no reason for me to be with you. Because if we're still dwelling on the past, how are we intending to grow? How are we intended to be positive? How are we intended to be purpose? You know, one of my personal mantras is perspective matters. And so I feel like when you change the perspective of how you see certain things that you may bond with the person over, it's okay that we have familiarity together on a topic. But if that's what we're basing our connection on, nothing good is going to come out of it in my thought process. And in my experience, nothing good has come out of the connection, quote unquote, when we both come at it from a place of hurt. So when you know yourself, and you've learned the things that are triggering to you, when you see those things in someone who is offering you a connection, you go ahead and deny that. At least I do. I go ahead and deny that because I've already been there and done that. And I was thinking what she was saying, weaponizing your hurt. And I'm like, that's a catch-22 because it's not that I am beating you over the head because you haven't progressed in your healing space as I have, but it's like I am being a little, quote-unquote, narcissistic because I'm thinking this is about me and me maintaining my healing. So, therefore, I'm not even going to connect with anybody that I see is still not healed in the area because I feel like it's not my responsibility to heal you. It's your responsibility to find healing and find or to allow yourself, you know, the caveats and the knowledge and the resources to find healing. Because once I get involved, if you're not ready to receive that or you don't want that knowledge, then there's nothing, you know, that I can do anyway except for drop those jewels and keep it moving. So I definitely noticed the discernment, knowing yourself, and then the bonding over things that are negative.
All right. Lisa Lips. we're going to speed up after we get to Mother of Dragons. But, yeah, Lisa Lips, go ahead.
I agree with what everybody's saying, too. And it's kind of like what Van said, my grandmother used to say, what's good ain't always good for you. So sometimes, you know, it suits what you're feeling at the moment, but it's not what you need in your life. And, you know, in these situations where, especially when you get into something and you're already partially broken or fully broken from the start, you connect with the hurt in somebody else. And then when you start to heal, if they're not healing at that same rate, then you get lost in it. And you're not getting what you need anymore. You don't have somebody to commiserate with anymore because they're not in the same place as you are. So you make choices that suit that situation and not what would be better for you long term. But, I definitely do agree with some of the points that he made. And you know, we have to take accountability for ourselves, what choices we make as well, so that we're not picking somebody out of our current situation and we're actually looking at the full picture.
Mm. All right. Ooh, Mother of Dragons.
Yes. What I feel is that relationships are a theory. They are a theory of what we may place upon a person, and especially if you're unhealed or if you're coming from some type of trauma, you may exert all your efforts to try to say, okay, I want this relationship this way, and relationships don't go like that. Relationships should be organic. They should be spontaneous. But if you've already got your ducks in a row on what you want in a relationship, you're really setting yourself up for failure. And so whether it's an open relationship, whether it's a monogamous relationship, you can't go into it with a one-track mind thinking that it's going to be idealistic when it really isn't. And all you're doing is just placing really all these implications and these like a set module over someone that you have to get to know and grow together. So that's pretty much it, what I have to say.
Okay. All right. Well, that was a serious round one when we get to it. So let's get to the meat and the bones, because now we got the opinions out and we figure out where we're going on. But Wendell, I want you to tell me, what does it mean when it says, which choice is best? Your last choice, your last choice, your current choice, or your next one? I need you to frame that for me and bring that forth, because we're going to do it. And I want everybody to tailor make, you know, say your answer. We're going to go back and forth real quick, so that, you know, we try to give the quickest and the best answer to what's being proposed. So, Wendell.
All right. So, yeah, that, you know, that just came to me from, you know, the old pimp talk, make your next move your best move. Well, when it comes to, you know, relationships, you know, we have to create it. And the awareness that it takes to create what it is that you want comes from being able to recognize, are you currently creating with the dynamic that is best serving you? Or if you look in your past, did you have it before but weren't at a place where you could really recognize it, so you mistreated it? And if neither one of those two are the case, then are you in the process of preparing yourself to create it in your next relationship? So that really is just about the self-awareness that it takes to make the right choice for yourself when it comes to who, when, and how you relate.
Hmm. So, wow. So here's a question for the thing. All right. Have you made a good choice for your relationship if you're in one? Or what were the mistakes that you made about your last relationship that wasn't a good choice? You know, you can answer either for, or as you're looking to go into another relationship, what are the choices you will make? Right, so let's start with, well, we'll just run down the line. Let's just start with Van Meadows. Hey, Van. which one do you choose, sir?
I would definitely choose future. Because to your point, what did I do? What choice did I make in the past relationship? If I'm being honest, I trusted someone who did not love me the way that I loved them, with my heart. So
you do know there's some people who believe that, I'm just hopping in, they believe that relationships turn out better when the person that you're in a relationship loves you more than you love them.
Yeah, that's great.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, that's great.
No, but I'm just saying. I'm not saying that this is actual. But it's the same. I mean, I'm pretty sure anybody could agree with that. Somebody has said that. Somebody said that. Oh, you know, you need to be in a relationship with someone that loves you more than you love them. You know,
that's bullshit.
You'll grow to. You can grow to love them. You can grow to love them.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. No. I'm sorry.
No.
I mean, because, you know, we talk about in this context of the conversation, we're talking about choices and choosing. It'll have to be my future choice, because I'm hopeful that at some point I will be ready to be in a relationship again. But I can't choose the woman. And I say that because I've made bad choices in women. All of the women that I was with, I chose those women. Be it good, bad, or indifferent, I purposely chose different types of women because I didn't want the same woman. So I chose different types of women, and they all turned out to be bad for me. So I'm confident that my problem is I make the choices. So I'm no longer making the choice.
How are you not making the choice?
Bro, I'm not making the choice. See, I'm still single. I'm not choosing.
Okay. But in the future, like, is someone going to choose you? And then you agree?
Yes.
Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, wholeheartedly. Yes.
So they're going to be like, you're it. And you're going to be like, oh, I guess so.
Okay. Depending, Tony, you know the rules of the game. Yes, you've chosen them.
I'm just waiting for somebody to say, you shade tree, nigga.
What I mean is, I'm always the one making the choice. I enjoy the chase. I enjoy the hunt. I enjoy that, right? But my selection choices are very, very jaded, you know? So I'm purposely where I am right now because I'm not making the choice.
Okay.
So future, will I ever make the choice again for myself? I don't know. I can't honestly say that I will. I can't say that I won't. I just know that in my present space right now, I'm not making the choice.
Okay. That's valid.
That's honest.
I mean, listen, a man who knows himself knows what he wants, you know, and you know you don't want to make that choice. So I'm going to double to Tanya, because we haven't had Tanya MOD, so I'm going to start with y'all. So Tanya, same question. You know, which is your best choice, your last one, your current, or your next one? You know, and if there's something you should learn from your last one, how will it apply to your future?
What I learned from my last one, we'll put it this way, the last one that I loved and really was into and cared about, I learned that you definitely have to be at the same page and stage in life. Just because you love a person and they love you back, if you're not on the same page and stage, you're bound not to work. I take that into my future because I don't want to, I always ask, you know, we ask the question, where do you see yourself, blah, 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 blah. And that's just, you know, the hoping, the planning, is what I plan. But when you get to the 5 years of being together and they're not where they said they hope to be, but you see the actions and you see the life living, that makes a big difference. For example, in my past, I was ready for marriage and moving forward, yet he was at the stage where moving further in his career was where he was at. Well, for me, moving further in my career, I've accomplished all the goals that I wanted to, with the exception of one. And I was like, I'm not ready for that next goal to be met career-wise. So, you know, I'm not lackadaisical, but I am sort of content, and I say sort of, where I'm at because I haven't accomplished that last thing. So for me, it's making sure that we're on the same page and stage in life, and that's in all gamuts of it, you know, sexually, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, all of that.
All right. That makes sense. All right. Mother of Dragons.
Yes. I think there's a saying that says that you don't judge somebody on their potential. And so, and I'm definitely looking forward to, like, to my next in that aspect. But I think what I've learned and what I've, you know, just based off of my friends, hearing them talk and stuff like that, you know, and I love black men. I think that, you know, you should look at the attributes of that person, the character, and, you know, and also the potential of being a king. You know what I'm saying? A worthy potential, because a man should always be a leader. And so if you're not searching for that, you'll easily get lost in the waiting pool of you know, people who say what they are but they're not. So I think, you know, that's what I'm looking for, is the attributes of a king and how to prepare myself to be submissive and be ready for that. So, yeah.
All right.
Well, since I'm unmuted, I'm going to say my name is Joe, and I'd like to ask a question about what's your definition about what a leader is?
Oh,
yeah, I just brought him in.
Okay. A leader, you know, I come from a Christian base, you know, but what I view as a leader is a person who makes the household decisions, you know, who's willing to take me as take my opinions in everything, but not.
Right.
But make sure that they take care of the children and whatnot too. So I think that's what I view as a leader, a person who's willing to be in charge of our life, you know, and our heading.
Okay.
Whether it's investments, houses, all that stuff. Yeah.
All right. Do you guys mind if I add a little bit to that narrative?
All right. Go ahead, Joe. We'll sure. Take it. Since you called in. So
okay.
We'll clock you, you know.
All right. So I hear women say that all the time. So here's an example. You married somebody who's making a little bit more money than you. You have children. Let's say two kids. He wants to send the kids to private school. You want to send the kids to the neighborhood school because you think the neighborhood schools are good enough. He also wants to send the kids to camp. You don't. He also wants to take a vacation once every 2 years. You want to take it maybe once a year. But you're saying he has to make the decisions. He's going to talk to you. He's going to take what you want under advisement. But if he makes the decisions all the time, are you going to be satisfied with that? If he says the kids are going to private school and we're going to have to work maybe a few more hours in order to get the money to pay for the private school and to pay for the camp. You don't want the kids to go to camp. You don't want the kids to go to private school, but he does. So what's going to happen?
Okay. So, all right, Joe. So this is what we're going to do. All right. So we're going to curtail the comment right there. We're going to let two or three responses to what you're asking for, and then we'll put you back in the queue, and hopefully we'll answer your question, everything I get good. So is anybody on the council would like to take this question, please? Thank you.
I'll mute myself.
Okay. No, I got you. Don't worry about it. But go ahead. We'll take three responses, quick.
I was once married before, you know, for over 14 years. But in that particular marriage, I was the one making all the choices, the financial choices, what my children should do, everything, because he was in the military, so he was not always able to put an input in things. So I would say that would be refreshing for me to be able to have someone that can be the home and can make decisions, but take my consideration on certain things. But, you know, if he feels as though the children will be opted better for private school or whatnot, so, you know, and if taking a vacation every 2 years is going to save us money, yeah, I'm all for it.
Okay. Anyone else want to answer that question?
I don't think anyone...
Go ahead,
LaPerla.
I was married to a narcissist, and I gave him complete control of the whole marriage, and I was miserable as fuck. But because I had no guidance and no one to really talk to, I allowed it to continue. I didn't know any better, and that stemmed from childhood trauma, bad relationships. But I don't believe that anyone will be happy being in a relationship where one person is totally in control all the time. It's a partnership. It's not a dictatorship. So I can't agree with having someone. It's okay to let your man make, if you feel as though he's making better decisions at that time, you can submit to that. But to allow him to just have complete control all the time of all the decisions, no, because we have differences. We have our own minds, we have our own way of thinking. That just wouldn't work for me, no.
All right. Lisa Lips, last response.
For me, in relationships, I'm very much a believer in traditional relationships as well, and I believe that a man is the head of his household, but there has to be some discussion amongst you, and you come to decisions together, and if you find that you hit a spot where the two of you can't agree, then somebody has to give up to the other's opinion. I tend to give in to his opinion and let him do things in the way that he sees once we've tried to discuss things and we can't come to a conclusion. But if his decision-making is faulty, then don't be mad at me when I step in and fix it, because we've talked about this and you chose to do it your way and your way didn't work. So, a man can be the head of his household, but it does not mean it's a dictatorship. You have to have some compromise amongst you. And he can stand in that final decision position, and I can be submissive to that, but I'm not going to be docile and roll over just because he's a man and I'm a woman.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Agreed.
All right, Joe, I hope that answered your question.
It didn't answer.
Calling in.
It didn't answer at all.
Huh?
Oh, okay.
Well,
never mind.
This is...
Wow. Okay.
Okay, well, thank you, Joe. Okay. He dropped beforehand. And if you get upset that you don't hear the answers that you want to hit, I'm just going to give you, I'm going to preface it with, so the fuck what? You got the answers you asked for, we answered it. You know, you didn't like it? I'm sorry.
Right.
Nobody's going to
exactly.
agree to be like, okay. Nobody's going to be like, yeah, you should definitely control everything in your household and run everybody fucking crazy. No, that's not going to happen. Hang that shit up. I'm sorry. And then you're going to be rude. No, that's not what happened at all. And that means you're just being an asshole and you just want to get an opinion from certain people. And we're not here to tell you what you want to hear. We're only here to tell you what we have our opinion on. And if you didn't like the fact that anybody says that, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to preface it. Listen, when you ask for an opinion, you get an opinion. Nobody's obligated to make you feel good about whatever they say. Period.
Right.
Point blank.
Right.
We pull no punches over here.
And opinions are like assholes. We all got one.
We all got one.
He was looking for a particular energy to be generated between us from him saying what he said. He wasn't looking for an answer because you clearly got several different answers from us. It may not be what you wanted to hear, but he was trying to stir something up rather than just get an opinion on something. Mac, no, but here.
Yeah, never mind. Okay, so back to the questions at hand. Back to the question at hand. I'm gonna go over to you, Joan. Which choice is your best choice? Your last choice, your current, or your next one?
Well, I have to say, if it was my last choice and it's not my current choice or my next choice, it probably was not my best choice because I generally run with my best choices. I stay with those. My last choice was a disaster because I went from one extreme to the other extreme in search of what it was I was looking for, what it was I thought I needed at that time. So I went from a relationship where the person, you know, we enjoyed our time together, and when we were together, we were together. But when we were apart, we were definitely apart. So what I thought I needed or what I thought I wanted was for someone to be totally into me. But what I realized was I was into the other person more than they were into me, which is cool. But then I got with somebody who was totally into me, and because they were so into me, they couldn't be into them at all, and I didn't like that either. And so I don't know if that makes sense to y'all, but he was too wrapped up in me, and I'm a lot to be wrapped up in. That's just the truth. But he was just too into it. And I recognize, but here, no, I'm not narcissistic or whatever, not in that kind of way. Like, I kind of always have some stuff going on. Like, that's just the way my life is designed, and good, bad, and different. It's just always some movement. And he was arriving to the spots where the movement was happening before I got there. Like, he was that into me, and I was like, this is scary. This is a bit much for me, so yeah, no. That my last move was definitely not my best move.
Okay. All right. So I'm gonna go with you, Lisa Lips.
My last choice was I got caught in the narcissist thing. In the beginning, he was everything under the sun and would do anything for me, and then or we got into the relationship, and then he was trying to change me to whatever it was that he thought he wanted to make me into. And the final straw came when the narcissist could no longer hide himself and basically told me that he was going to do what he wanted, and I was just going to have to deal. And I was like, no, I ain't either. So, yeah, my last choice was a horrible choice, and I walked away from it, which he didn't think I would ever do that. So when I walked away, he at first was just like very stoic, but then he realized that he had screwed up. Then he could call back talking about, I'm sorry. And I completely agreed with him. You are very sorry.
Wow. Wow. That's absolutely crazy. Let me talk about myself real quick. In my marriage, when I was married, I was married to someone who was a chameleon at first. They figured out what it was that I liked, and they would do anything to try to get me. I figure certain people, they have modes that they drop into in order to attract you and keep your attention. So she molded herself into the things that I desired, not necessarily needed, but desired. And so, you know, she would do my laundry, she'd do all this other stuff, and it was like all these different things that came in, you know. And then once she began to move towards something different and do everything else, that's when she started to change. And so, like, that choice of choosing her, I stayed way too long than I had to stay. Like, I remember me and my son were having this conversation. He was like, I wonder how much better my life would be if you hadn't stayed with Mom. It bugged me out. Like, even to this day, you know, my daughter gave me a certain type of behavior, and normally I could track my daughter's behavior because of how her mother moves. And when I hear her talk, I can hear her mother's voice. And so lo and behold, when I go to the page, like, she was like, oh, you know, that's like, you ever love the hell out of someone and this happened or that happened? She's like, it sure did, and it's his loss. And I'm sitting here like, I ain't been around you in how many years? I was like, you are married to someone else. You are not only are you married, you have a whole house in this individual. Why? How do I come up in your conversation? How does this work? But I realized that from my choices that I made, even their choices, like, I chose to be with someone who I knew, who I didn't know, actually. And I did it because, not even because I was compatible, not even because there was a connection, it's because they actively worked on certain aspects of what I desired to fulfill that make me think that they were more desirable and want to be with them. And then once they had the children, then I said, okay, let me apply leverage to him. Now I can make you do what you want because you love these kids more than anything else. And my choice in that is what kept me in a bad situation for a very long time. Kept me through not even understanding that someone was using drugs in my presence and I had no idea what the hell that was. It was a little crazy, you know, but as I began to move forward and everything else, I know now I'm very committed to speaking what's in my heart at all times. Like, you know, I'm committed to it. Like if I think something is crazy, I'm gonna come with you. I'm gonna come at it with you. I'm gonna have this whole conversation with you because I have to. You know, some people think that's tender. I've been in a whole argument where someone said that because I expressed myself a certain way, I was too sensitive. It wasn't manly. It wasn't. And I was like, so me telling you exactly what's in my heart and on my mind is sensitive. And when someone is calling a male sensitive for expressing their feelings, what are they trying to do to that male? Ladies and gentlemen, what are they trying to do to him? They're trying to
emasculate. Emasculate.
Exactly. And I'm like, to be, like, the funny thing is to be a person who is emotionally active with themselves because you're doing the work. Like, the work never stops, but you're doing the work and you're able to say. And then someone's like, I don't like that. You know, and I was like, so I'm supposed to, you know, I already internalize at a high degree more than anybody else in the entire life. You know, even like my brother just said, people like, well, you're just walking around here like you're normal. I said, who the fuck thinks normal is normal? I said, you have no idea what I'm thinking about. You have no idea the iceberg that sits underneath the surface. Like, I really had to have that conversation today. I was like, yo, there's an iceberg underneath this fucking surface of all the shit that I got to think about and deal with. I said, you only see my public face. You don't understand what's actually happening to me. How it drives me, you know, the guilt that I feel, all the craziness, right? But it's a choice how people choose to see you. Also, I think the choice is not just you choosing, but how people choose to deal with you, choose to actively talk to, choose to pursue what they pursue. You know, sometimes you have to actually be in the point where you have to understand them to the point so that you know when they're doing bullshit. You're like, hey, you're doing bullshit. And you might not think you're doing it, but you're doing it. You may not think you're involved in some fuckery, but there's some fuckery going on, you know. Because that's what I call people when they be doing emotional. What's the definition I gave yesterday? When they're doing some fuck you shit, that's some fuckery. That's some fuckery, you know. Because people do emotional fuckery, like, you know, and they may not count it as so, because sometimes people have been doing emotional fuckery for such a long time that it's harder for them to pull back because people have accepted the fuckery. People have rocked with the fuckery. They've had friends that support the fuckery, just like the dude who just came in here. He was about the fuckery. He was about the fuckery. But sometimes we excuse the fuckery because we like the other things about the person more than the fuckery. We be like, well, you know, you got no bad sex. She scratches my ass on the left side when I'm sleepy. I don't know. I'm just saying. It be some other shit sometimes. I'm just saying. It be some other shit sometimes. You know, sometimes it be other shit. You know, some people it just can be sexual. Some people get everything else. Anyway,
I'm just hoping to stop on the thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, the old folks used to say, did you get what you wanted when you got what you got?
Right.
Definitely.
That part.
You're right. You know, but a lot of times when we're thinking about our choices and our future choices, like me, I'm like, listen, number one, I'm a lot. I know I'm a lot. Because I do have asshole tendencies. I have bad asshole tendencies. Bad. They're terrible. Like, I actively work on my asshole tendencies. That's how bad they are. I'm like, I need to work on this. I shouldn't have done that. That's bad. Sometimes I apologize. I'll be like, I was being an asshole. Forgive me. You know, but I also understand that when I decide to choose, when I choose. I don't know if that makes sense. But when I choose, I choose. Like,
It makes sense.
It can't be.
And part of the healing is recognizing your own assholery and trying to fix it. So you're there.
I try, for real. I really try. Like I'm like, why did I say that? Then y'all be like, why you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I'm such an asshole. Then you'll be like, why you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I'm such an asshole. I don't even know why I said that.
That's why.
No, but recently, the only person who's been like, I'm like, you're a fucking twit. There's nothing we can do about it. It's like my father's wife. I'm sorry, Pop, if you listen to this, but I'm sorry. you know, she makes me fucking crazy, and I'll be trying, and I'll be holding back. I'll be like, you know, I'm like, please don't touch my stuff. She be just touching your shit. Please don't move my shit. Let me just move your shit. You know, you're laying on these pillows. Why the fuck is it on the couch? I'm going to go off. Anyway, going back to what we were saying, messing up this whole thing. So let's just get off of this. Let's go to the next thing. Have you ever been the second choice for someone? Have you ever been, you wasn't the top choice. They said, I default to you. I'm like, I went over here and I tried this out. This is great. It didn't work out. Hey, how you doing? What's happening? What you been doing with your time? Hey, what's up? Has anyone ever been a second choice? Free will, everybody just run at it. I don't even care.
Yep. Yep. After I was made the first choice, they decided they wanted to see what it was like on the other side of the fence, and then they came back and made me the second choice. So, yeah. Yeah, I've been here, done it. Yep.
Recently it happened to me, and the conversation was like, it was just in my opinion, it was in the getting to know stages, but hadn't heard from him in a while, And then, you know, he started reaching out again. And at first I didn't oblige, and I was like, you know, let me see what he's intending here. And he made the statement to me. He was like, yeah, I've been out here in these streets trying to see what I can find and see what I can see. And then I realized, man, and you got this. She the only one that I've talked to that got sent. Well, immediately within, I was offended. I'm just going to be honest. I was offended because I feel like if you don't recognize what you have when you first have it, dude, you're stupid. I'm just going to be honest. You're stupid, in my opinion, concerning me. You're stupid. And so then when you go out in the street and you see that it's not what you thought it was, or you weren't going to find what you thought you were going to find, well, excuse me if I hold myself to certain standards and expect the person in my life to have them too. But once you see that it ain't what you thought it was going to be, and since we've been using, you know, colloquialism, grass ain't greener on the other side, it was just artificial turf or shit fertilized, you know, why are you coming back to me? And then have the audacity to tell me that, oh, they weren't as good as you. To me, that's not a compliment. So I'm like, kick rock.
Wait, hold, pause. Wait, that Negro said, he said, they ain't as good as you. Like, that really came up in the conversation.
Oh, if they say
that's
that.
That's what he
they
said.
Say that.
That's what he said. And I was like,
what?
I
don't
think he's
good,
a
like
compliment.
Yeah.
To me, that's not a compliment.
Yeah. That's not a compliment at all.
It's more backhanded.
It sounds like it's a backhanded comment. Which is not a compliment. That's an insult.
Mother Dragon,
yeah.
That's not even a backhanded comment.
A compliment.
That's just,
right.
That's
no,
not a compliment.
They think
any
they're
sense
backhanded
of
compliments
are
not
they
compliments.
Think they're
that's
really
a,
saying
no.
Something. Yeah, they think
that's,
really
that's fuckery right there. That's fuckery. Yeah,
it
you
is.
Know.
Yeah, that's
they could do
is.
What you did.
No, but, here's a good one. Here's a good one. You got the best sex. Excuse me? Really? That's what you fixed your mouth to say to me? The reason you came back? Bye, boy. I mean, no. Nope. It's a trip because they really think that they are saying something profound, like you're supposed to just melt into that shit. Get the fuck out of here. Excuse me.
Wait.
But, I mean, it's crazy. It's the nerves, man. The audacity.
Hold on. I gotta go to Wendell and Van on this one. Wait. Has any woman ever said, you know, I left you, but I came back because you got the best sex? It's you.
Yep. And I treated her like the that she was.
She's like, you for these streets.
Wow, yeah, that's definitely
for the streets.
For the streets. But I haven't
had. That's a crackhead intervention.
I haven't had someone come back to me for that specific reason, but I have had someone come back to me kind of with their proverbial hat in their hand, saying that they didn't recognize what they had when they were with me, and you know, all of that. You know, I'd like to have another chance and things like that. And that definitely. It hits different. It hits different. And at that point in time, I was not in a place where I could say that I could evaluate them based on the person that they were coming back to me as opposed to the person that they were when they left. So I just threw the whole person away.
Yeah, really.
I was the one for that shit.
Oh, Jesus.
If someone were to come back to me and say what they said to you, nah, fam. Nah, you just asking to get. Yeah, you just asking to get gone. I'm gonna just say it nice.
Mm-hmm.
I am the one for that.
So, Lisa Lips, have you ever been made a second choice and has anyone ever did some chicanery like we've just heard?
Well, in my situation, it was someone that I had been friends with, and he kept making wrong choices and picking the wrong girls, and girls kept throwing, and, you know, he was crazy about some girl that wasn't feeling him in that way. And but we were friends, and we talked about all kinds of stuff, and it was nothing more than a friendship. And then he got a disappointment again, and we had gone out to dinner and talked about it, and then he initiated things with us, and we saw each other for about a year, and this girl that had disappointed him had basically shut him completely out, had blocked him on the phone, everything. The moment she paid 6 seconds worth of attention to him, he dumped me and flew back to her, and then called me like he always did as a friend, trying to get me. You lost that privilege when you did what you did, because there was no warning whatsoever. It was just like one day I was everything in the world. We were having dinner at his grandparents' house, and then the next day you ain't speaking to me because she done opened her phone line back up to you. And then when she threw him away again, he's going to try and call me so he can commiserate as a friend. No, you lost that privilege.
So let me ask, was she using him financially? Because that sounds like
absolutely she was. And she had a boyfriend the whole time, and she was getting him to buy stuff so she could give it to the boyfriend.
I can see that. I kind of heard it. I heard the vibration of that. That's why I asked. I was like, oh man.
How big a fool she really was making him, then he wants his friendship back with me. No, Negro, you ruined all of that.
Ooh. Oh.
He came back to me. You talking about saying dumb shit? He came back to me talking about, I knew I was better off with you, but I wanted to see where it would go with her.
Boy, bye.
He's on the street.
Was he really a friend then?
Right. That's why we don't talk anymore at all.
Oh, man. Real quick. Before I lose it. All right. So, here's a question. Here's a serious question. All right. If your ex did all the work required to heal themselves, become above board and definitely above level into knowing all the mistakes that they have made with you, to knowing all the mistakes that they have done with you, they were willing to repent, they apologize profusely, and they wanted to explain to you why it didn't work, and they wanted to prove to you why it could work. And they seem to be a different person. They seem to have different energy. But would you give them another chance? I leave that on the floor.
Nope. That's over.
Nope. No. I will listen to you. I'm that kind of person. I will always be a good ear for you, but that door is closed. That chapter is closed. You're an ex for a reason, and more than likely, you fucked over me. So no, you can't. That bridge, I threw gasoline on that motherfucker. No, you can't fuck that with me. No. Sorry.
Yeah,
not happening.
You know, already.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, boo boo. But gone. Nope.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. No. You know, already ran over me. Now you're trying to put the car in reverse and do it again.
I actually had a situation like that. I had an ex that tried that. He wanted to come back. He, you know, it, by all accounts, he had changed. You know, the relationship that he got into had humbled him. Seeing him not being what he thought she was supposed to be in. And tried his best, but no. Once I cut you off, I cut you off. No.
For me, it depends on how the relationship ended. Usually my relationships end very well. there's no love loss, there's no ugliness about them. Relationships now, serious relationships, generally end well. So for me, it all depends on why we end it and how we end it as to if I would give you a second chance. For one, words mean nothing. Actions speak volumes. So for me, I'd have to watch how you move for a steady amount of time. And then I could, you know, honestly consider, because I think sometimes there are second chances. We just meet not in the right season. But if it ends ugly for me, I can't, because when things end ugly, it's probably a sign of your personality and who you truly are. And if that's how you are, it's probably going to rise again unless you truly did the work. So it just all depends on how it ended for me.
For me, I'm going to say no, because I don't believe that I've ever cut anyone off as soon as they did something that I didn't like. So all of the chances came while we were actually in that relationship. And so one of the things that, you know, I can come back from a lot of things, but disappointment, like personal disappointment, and that's the kind of relationships that I've had and I've always been in, is that in order for me to really cut a person out of my life and really for me to move on and really for me to allow that time to pass for me to heal, you had to have done something that was so spiritually egregious toward me that I can't ever trust you in that way again. Like, there's a point where you break the trust that I have in you as a person. And if I'm honest with myself, I'm never, ever, ever going to fully be able to give myself to you in that particular way again. So it's no reason for us to even do that dance, because then that turns into me wasting your time.
That part, you said spiritually egregious, and that definitely is something noteworthy.
Unmute, Mojave.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot to unmute. I had to hop in the green room real quick because somebody called in. I was like, yeah, we're not going to take calls that we don't know the number from. We have to figure this out. Anyway, all right. Have you ever been complacent in a relationship? You've just been, you know, calm, you know. You stayed with it. It was normal. It was even keel. It was you can reasonably expect everything that was going to happen. You know, your sex is decent. You know, you can do nice things for each other, but you know you're not getting the bells and whistles. You're not getting all the stuff that you require. You require.
Yep.
So have you been complacent? And if you were complacent, why did you stay?
It's just not wanting to enter into new bullshit, because everybody else brings bullshit. I'm kind of some form of bullshit with them or another. You make yourself comfortable mentally with that. Even though you know that's not, you know, you're not fulfilled, you stay anyway until you just think, like, you know, I'm tired. I don't have to do this. So, yeah.
All right. Anyone else?
I wouldn't even say the relationship, that relationship, I wouldn't even say the sex was decent, but I think because... I think because I felt like we had a lot in common, and so I think I kind of settled, and that's what made me stay. But eventually, I couldn't settle anymore.
and I had to leave.
So you've settled. So is anybody in here agreeing that they might have settled for something? You know, because complacency and settling is remarkably similar.
That is settling, complacency.
Ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is. It's still settling. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember my ex told me she settled for me. I was like, so
wow.
You're saying you settled for me, but everything you have, you never had with anybody else. Okay, I got you. So one time, right? He's on a break, right? So the dude she was married to before me, right? He used to bust her up a lot. Like, he used to bust her up, bust her down, do all kinds of stuff, you know, anything else. And she never got pregnant for him. Like, he was trying to give her a baby and it never happened, right? So she was like, oh yeah, he's this person, he's that person, anything else. And so what I found out was like she disappeared with my kids for like 3 days, right? So I was losing my shit and everything. And she went with him, and then he's like, I'm going to be their stepfather and everything else. And so I literally came out to work to come see my kids, and he was there. All right, and I asked her, I said, this is your house, but why is you around my kids? I said, I don't choose to have violent people around my kids. And he said, hey, brother, let's step outside and talk. I said, no, you're not stepping outside and talk. I said, I value my freedom. I don't want you around my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You're a violent individual. Mm-hmm. And then he said, you just don't know how violent I could be. And he's much bigger than me, but I love big people when they want to fight. Anyway, I was like, just because you're big don't mean you can fight. Don't mean anything. So I was like, but I like my freedom. This is what it is. And I was just like, you sired none of these children. As a matter of fact, I heard you can't have children. And then he really got mad. And then I was just like, but you settled for me. This is the guy you have in your house. We used to beat you up, went to jail for beating you up. You know, and then you divorced him because you found out that the person he was cheating on you with, who he married, and now he's over here trying to convince you. Yeah, you settle for me. I got you. You're right. You know, go ahead. And then I guess he said something crazy. And he borrowed some ungodly amount of money from her, and she was like, oh, I'm going to be this and that and blah, 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 and it's your kids. And I was just like, yo, man, I was simping back in the day, so I'm mad at myself. Really mad. Real bad in that situation. Mm-hmm. Hey, right. All right, so anyone else? Have you ever been complacent? Better yet, have you ever stayed with someone because sex was so good?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And did. And absolutely did. Sure did. It was listening. Shot.
Yeah.
Woo.
No.
Yes, baby.
I've never done that. I've never done that.
Wait. Who said that?
Nope.
Who said that? Didn't
I have. I've never stayed with someone. Yeah.
That's not the move. You know.
No.
that's demon dick. If you stay with somebody, you know that. I'm being truthful. I'm being truthful though.
If you
stay with somebody that because the sex is good, then you're attached to a demon. You really are, and you should evaluate your life after that.
I did. I absolutely did. Listen. This is Joan. Listen. Oh y'all, this is just it's a lot. But here's the thing. When I say it was an absolute no-go from the jump, my first degree was in criminal justice, and this nigga had a felony record a mile long. It was nothing we should have been able to do together. It was terrible. But here's the thing. He wasn't a terrible person. He ain't slapped me upside my head. He never cursed me out. It was just I knew we were not compatible in real life. Like, in real life, once my bra came back on, we were never going to be compatible.
Hey. Hey, somebody said that there's nothing more irrational than a woman that's getting dicked down.
And here's the crazy thing. I was only irrational in those moments, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was only in those moments because that was literally what it was about. And it was just, it was goddamn ridiculous. Like, that's what it was. Like, I didn't want anything else from him. I mean, you know, it was nothing. When I say it was nothing else, it was literally just that. I didn't have any expectations of him. You know, he thought we were going somewhere with that thing. It was, listen, I knew. And I was just making all of the right, wrong choices. Like, I was living my life in a certain type of garden. But when he would come by with that hoe, I would let him, listen, that worked. And so I just, I had to, whole child, I had to really go to God about him. Like, I couldn't even, like, I'm not Catholic, but there was nothing that a middle person could do for me. There was no confession. I had to go directly to the source. Because it was like the fight within. It was the demon within. It was really me. It was really me. It wasn't even him. It was really me.
I'll be the last one.
I mean, I
lived in the garden, and when they came by with the hoe.
Right.
I mean, I ain't gonna say that I wasn't enticed by it, but the moment my uterus got punctured, that was a wake up call for me. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
That was my wake up call. My uterus got punctured. This dick was on some other stuff.
Yeah,
wait.
Hold on,
furniture
around. Yes.
Wait.
I was upside down and my dick got my uterus got punctured, I really realized that, you know what, you're not doing right to yourself.
And that was what it was.
I was young and dumb.
Yeah, listen. I watched this podcast that's on Instagram, and he interviews all the porn stars. I'm not gonna say the name, right? And so all the porn stars is like, they're like, listen, right? There's this guy named Brickzilla, right? And they was like, listen, I don't care. It's like a baby forearm. It's like, I have nothing else to prove in my career. I'm saying no.
Oh, God.
I'm saying no. Sometimes things are too big. They're too big. And I'm not saying that. I'm not being as envy, but I'm just saying, if your uterus is getting punctured, listen.
My uterus got disheveled, but it wasn't punctured. But it was just so damn good. Like, it was like...
That's what I'm saying. Can you just say
for real? Like, I feel like, you know how, like, listen, I'm serious. You know how they say one sin is no greater than the other? I know it's some extra sins on that.
Honestly, until you're in that situation. You know, and there's demon dick and there's demon pussy. You know what I'm saying?
You
get into that situation where you're making life altering choices. You know, because it's that good, you can't restrain what you would do.
You don't have respect for yourself.
You're
making bad decisions, and from those decisions, listen, you're making bad decisions for yourself, and you have a lack of self-respect. I'm telling you, it was not what it was.
Here you go. You're in the emergency room. So what are you here for? I'm here for a disheveled uterus. There's some dents in my uterus.
I had an IUD, and he punctured my uterus because of my IUD.
And I can never, until this day now, I can never get an IUD because of that. It's in my medical records. And that's embarrassing to go into the emergency room, you know, and you have a hole in your uterus. You literally have a hole in your uterus.
So it's like you're going to have to call them the womb.
It's an emergency room.
That's one of those sex and the ER. All right. So gentlemen, have you had some demon coochie? Some coochie that was above average that made you do some things that you may not have been prepared for? I'll go on record saying I have. My ex did have, I've met others, but at the time I didn't know, you know. Because it was like, hey, whatever you want, your fantasy, let me do this. And I was like, hey, I can do anything. He was like, yeah, you can do anything. And it's gonna be good. Stupid, dumb, not intelligent, bad choices. No, somebody need to hit me with a newspaper and spray me with some water. Dumb. Not good.
No. I haven't, bro. Because I promise you, if I have, we would still be together, or we would be together right now.
Have you ever served it? Like,
of course.
You know what I'm saying? Like, some men get those stalkers. Like the.
I've had stalkers. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm very
so you
would
say somebody passed somebody else on.
Fabulous.
Yeah, very selective.
No, you didn't.
You gotta appreciate his honesty. You gotta appreciate that. That's an appreciation.
Because
you see that man with that hoe, you know, let him turn it on.
We have conversations with our friends, and you know, my friends would be like, "Yo, why are you doing that to them like that? If you not with them?" I'm like, "Bruh, you can let women talk about you all you want, but ain't no woman ever going to say about me that I ain't them." Come on.
We will talk about your ass.
So you can write it in it. You let that happen for you. And sure enough, no sooner than I said that, one of my friends was like, "Bro, you about to have you a stalker." And I did.
Mm-hmm.
It happened.
I put that pineapple calligraphy on him real quick. Ah.
I said, nah.
See, that's why I believe you don't give everything to everybody for that very reason right there.
Invitation.
You have to withhold and withdraw. You got to know who deserves the demon dick. In a positive way, and who deserves the wicked coochie in a positive way.
I
learned the hard
way.
This thing is giving demon dick in a positive way.
Yeah.
I was waiting.
You gotta
make sure that she's emotionally. Not have to be negative.
Yeah, you gotta make sure that she's emotionally prepared for that.
Demon dick,
you know,
by nature is disrespectful.
Yeah, that's
well,
true.
Let's say
I don't mind
you can have stigmatizing, you know, dick that way. Stigmatizing dick, you can have that then in a positive way. But I don't think it always has to be negative that someone can put it down and you get. You know,
sexual disrespect is different.
It is negative.
I don't subscribe to that.
Listen, sexual
disrespect is it's really in the spirit that it's given and in the way I receive it. If we on the level
that.
And we understand that these
it.
Degrees of disrespect are necessary for what we are both in union trying to accomplish here. I mean, everybody can't watch. I'm with it. Everybody can't handle it. Mm.
But does that have to be a bad thing, though?
No, absolutely not.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be categorized as a bad thing if it's awesome and it's that comeback night. It doesn't have to be. It's all in how.
You're right. You're right.
You
You're right.
You know the power that
you're
you possess
right.
in that area.
That's why you don't give everything to everybody in the beginning. They got to deserve, they got to earn it. Might sound, you know, conceited, but the way I feel about it is you have to earn certain things from this body because everybody don't deserve it.
But there's also, too,
I'm like, man, I'm going to put it down.
It may not be demon to you, it might be demon to somebody else.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of demons, my good friend, our good friend, Walking Erotica, aka Brian, just came up in here. I didn't know it was him that came in here, so he wanted to ask a question, lend to the discussion. I hope y'all don't mind. He's joining us. I made him wait for a very long time because I was worried. But welcome. What's up, Brian?
Not much. I'm actually enjoying the conversation. It's actually really good. And I don't know my man's name that said that he's never run into that demon pussy, basically. I could say the same thing. I just haven't. And I fucked the way that he fucked. Because to me, shit, that's more important than how I look sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about the impression.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to make an impression. So that part has to be on point 1,000,000%. It doesn't matter what situation it is. Because guess what? I'm not thinking about the other situation. It's this situation every time. And I got to make sure I get straight A's every time.
My man.
He's like, grade me.
Bow wow.
I'm a straight A student. Straight A student.
Yeah.
Get these grades.
Extra credit.
You know what I've learned, and I guess through growth is too, is that demon dick is not very smart dick. Usually, most of the time, you know, you cannot carry on a conversation with this person. Like if you were to be in regular life with them, and so what I've learned is that you have to value intelligence. And that may not come with demon dick, you know what I'm saying? But it may come with something that is better and more satisfying, more fulfilling to you. You know what I'm saying? In the end. You know what I'm saying? So when you're young,
when it comes
you make
with
the decision.
When it comes with intelligence, it's godly dick, baby. It's godly dick.
You got that right.
Yes, sir, bro. Yes, sir, bro.
So, gentlemen, wait. So fellas, have you given out some godly dick? You gave away the God D.
Yeah.
Let me give you this God D real quick.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's what it is right there. When I can open up your throat chakra, I can open up your third eye and your crown. That's what we're talking about.
Listen.
This is going in a poem.
Listen.
I'm with it.
Listen, when I can eat you and I can tell you what your thoughts are.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, when all I think of is gospel songs, I appreciate it.
I'm just trying to put you in the avatar state. That's all.
Oh man. Yeah, that's crazy. Yo, hey, y'all are killing me in this chat. I did get a back channel. Hold on, let me get a back channel. Okay, let me read the back channel. Okay, so hold on a second. It's more common for women to stay because the sex is good than for the men to stay because of sex. That was the back channel by a current listener. So we already talked about the sex, demon dick, God D. Come on, good deacon. I need that God D.
The God D.
Come on,
God
D. Got to give me that God D, Pastor. And we're like, y'all being blasphemous. I'm like, no, he's just talking about sex. Anyway, so one of the last questions, all right. It is a school night. Although I'm going to continue the conversation because it's fantastic and I don't want to stop. Anyway, if you are listening now, the time is now approximately 10:56, and the Blog Talk lady is extremely rude as fuck, and she will hang up on you if you're screaming. So this is your chance to call in. The number is 319-527-6300. All right, again, I repeat, the call-in number is 319-527-6300. Press 1 if you want to be heard. If you have any comments, it's going to cut off shortly. As a matter of fact, while we're on here, hey, Mr. Van Meadows, can you tell us what's happening in 50 Radio Universe for the rest of the weekend, sir?
Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, join us tomorrow night for the Love Zone with Ms. VIP and La Pearl La Negra. Thursday night's the Get Down with J-Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night's going to be Renaissance Poetry with your host, Keith Eric. Saturday night's going to be Poetic Therapy with La Pearl La Negra and Stan the Man Phillips. Sunday night's going to be the Inspiration Factory with Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night's going to be Raw with Rain and essentially Janice. And then we'll be right back here next Tuesday for Merry Christmas, Happy Monica, Happy Thanksgiving, Happy New Year, you know, Happy Kwanzaa, all that good stuff. With your host, Mojave.
It's the holiday show. It's the Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever show. And if you know what we do every holiday, this is the show where we don't care. Everything Christmas, everything black that's about Christmas. We got questions, we got answers, we got good music. We're going to talk, we're going to throw some poems, we're going to do it all. But it's a holiday show, so you got to wear an ugly sweater. You got to wear an ugly sweater. You got to either, you know, bring, you got to do something in the holiday. It's a holiday spirit thing. And I'm going to play all the blackest Christmas songs that I can find. Trust me. We, you know, even though so you don't believe in Christmas or celebrate Christmas, we're going to have a good time. It's the whatever show. Everybody's welcome. Everybody can come on. We can talk whatever you want to talk about as long as it's centered around the holidays. Like, question and point for next week, is Christmas sex considered a gift?
Hell no.
Christmas
oh, I'm
sex.
Sorry.
Hell
no.
Hell no.
No, bro.
If you were in this world, they'd be like, I gave you some
sex. You cannot wrap a ball around something you've been giving me all year and tell me it's a gift. I'm sorry. No,
right.
That don't work.
Come on, bro.
Yeah,
hell yeah. Listen. I got the most ridiculous Christmas questions ever. Oh, it's on. I'm going to ask crazy questions. I give no shits. And yes, there are people in this world who feel like they gave you a gift if they gave you some sex on Christmas. Truth is stranger than fiction.
I am the gift. Yes.
All right. So you got 41 seconds to get up in here. If you're here, you got 41 seconds to get in here. Not even 30 seconds. The number is 319-527. All right, 6300. I'm not going to play any music for the last couple of minutes because it's going to make the music really loud and fuck everybody up. If you're on, make sure that you're on because after you hear this, trust me, within 18 seconds, it's going to cut you off. All right, you got 10 seconds. You know, 319-527-6300. Make sure you check it out. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you're within the sound of my voice, welcome to Overtime, the After Hours. And After Hours, once we stop streaming, we know that it's not streaming to everybody else. It's closed doors. We talk whatever we want to talk. We say what we want to say. And I can literally give a shit about what's about to be said if anything else is going to happen. And this is where shit gets real. All right, so now I got everybody in here. Everybody's chilling and have a good time. And really good numbers. We like that. All right, here's the question. The question is, have you been in a relationship that was for a season? Or do you find yourself in relationships that only last a season?
Oh my God.
Everybody can
answer. Just pick one.
Anybody can go.
Yes. Seasons. I can't get past the 8-year mark.
Shit.
I guess my ex was seasonal. Yeah.
Every relationship is seasonal.
It's just that some seasons last longer than others. You know?
Right.
The whole saying about some people are with you for a reason, for a season, for a lifetime. Well, the lifetime is a season. And depending on where you are in life, it may be a long one or it could be a short one, but it's still a season. I think that they're all reasonable and seasonal. Lifetime is relative to the reason and the season. But all relationships are that way. So to expect permanence from something or someone that is constantly changing is to deny or to ignore the fact that the only constant is change. So,
okay.
People are going to be where they are, and they're going to stay for as long as they're going to stay, and then they're going to go when they're ready to go. Your job is to process it in a way that is healthy and beneficial for you.
That's cool. Definitely. Actually, one of our listeners, Miss Francis, she wanted to talk. She raised her hand, and so I opened her mic. So, Miss Francis, what'd you like to say?
Oh, Lord, have mercy. You do have people that come in for a season. Sometimes those seasons can be good, unless you want it to last all year round or just for the moment. And sometimes ain't nothing wrong with that, depending on where you're at in life. If that's what you, rather have for the moment.
Mm. Wow. So,
I don't believe in seasons, but I believe in lessons. I believe that people will teach you lessons, and so you're involved with that person for that lesson that you had to learn, or you had something you had to see within yourself to emerge out of it a better person. And sometimes you may not have learned anything from it, but it taught you how to value yourself a little bit better. That's it.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that. But here's the thing, too. And sometimes it lasts for a season. So it all ties in.
Yeah.
But sometimes you got to remember, some of us tend to learn a little quicker than others.
That's real talk.
I could
tell you, I was fantastically not a learning person. I didn't learn my lesson, and actually, I was a person that second choice. I was in a much better space with a particular friend. I'm so glad we're still friends to this day. But I should have put the boat on that particular person, because when everything else was down, that person literally came and got me up out my bed, pushed me into a shower, cleaned my house, cooked me some food, fed me food, and told me to get my happy ass up and get the fuck
now.
On. So that person was not only a person who nurtured me, put me back in the game, coach, and loved my son like he belonged to her. You know what I'm saying? And then I loved her son like he belonged to me. And I literally fucked that up to go back to my ex, who, excuse my terminology, she wasn't about shit. She was just playing on, she was doing everything that she could to get me back because she was messed up and where she was. And that's how people who are narcissistic, they manipulate you back. They can't stand to see you happy. They never want to see you happy. And they'll figure out a way to fuck that up. And so that was the whole thing. That was the price I paid. I went from a person that I would sit up at 5 o'clock in the morning and have the deepest conversations with and have incredible connection with. But everything happens for a reason. Maybe that was the season that I was in at that point. But had I paid attention to really what's going on. And the other thing is that when you're in bad situations, you got to find people who balance you out, that can give you good counsel. Right, Because if you don't tell nobody, a lot of people who deal with narcissists, they're isolated. The narcissist automatically isolates them, automatically takes away all the things that can give them legs up or keys to open doors to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing that they do. They figure out how to isolate you. And then once they isolate you, then they start taking away your privileges and your space, your freedom, all of it. They work through it. So what I learned from that situation was,
Go ahead. I'll let you. No, I was going to say, Mojave, also remember this, too. The only reason that they can get us back if they try, when they're trying to get us back, that they can, is because we have unfinished business. We have yet to let go. We still have that door open.
Oh, man, listen, I'll tell you what. Back then, my nose was wide open. I used to play the most horrible, which is crazy, right? So I brought her a bunch of stuff from Victoria's Secret. And so she basically let me know that she was fucking somebody with the Victoria's Secret on. I didn't really believe her until she posted on her Facebook page. That's still there to this day. And I was just like, yo, how fucked up can you be as a person knowing? Anyway, but that's the type of shit that I was into. So now, like letting go now, like if you want to go, I let him go. I let the good Lord take him. I let the door hit him with God's will and send him on their way. I don't wait. I don't hesitate. I don't blink. If I feel there's connect, I will work with you. I will do all I can to do everything else. If we are connected, if we are soul tribe, and we try, I'll work with you. But if you ain't, or you do bullshit, you got to go. You gotta go. No question. But that's just me. Anyways, let me go back to this. So let me go back to this and read this. I'll make sure. I thought I got a back channel. Hold on. I got a back channel. Okay. Tell you, like, I'm the cutoff queen. I'm like, nigga, you got to go. Have you ever cut somebody off for something that they've done that made you feel like you was like, yeah, this is the tip of the iceberg. This is, you don't even give them another chance. You just cut them. You be like, you just watch him bleed. You cut him. You're like, hey, you gonna make me bleed? Like, you cut off. You got to go. Anybody been a part of
that? Absolutely. I mentioned it earlier. The dude that I told was sorry because he said he was. And you gonna stand in my face and tell me you gonna do what you want to do, and I just got to get with the game because you in your mind think that I can't make it without you. You get cut off. And then the next day after you tell me that, then you come tell me you want sex. No, thank you. I refused him like you refused dessert. I was like, no thanks, I don't want any. He looked at me like I had lost my mind. I was like, you said you could do better and that I wasn't all that, no way, so why do you even want this? No, thanks, I don't want nothing.
Yeah, I've been there. When I was told, well, if you won't do it, somebody else will. I said, okay, well, then let them go ahead and do it. And that was it. Tell me no shit like that. Well, go on then. Get it.
Right.
You want to cause me harm? I won't let you do certain things to me. Well, go on. I guarantee you won't see me no more, though. And they didn't.
So let me ask Brian, because I know Brian's on here. Brian, you got a strong cutoff game?
Yeah. It's shit. While y'all were talking, I was over here thinking about it. It's actually one of my children's moms. It was a situation where I thought we just weren't on the same page at the same time. Like, we just kept missing the mark. Either I would be with somebody, she would be with somebody, or some shit like that. But when we ended up being by ourselves, she looked me in the face and said, this seems weird. And when she said that, I don't know, it was like I couldn't believe it. Like, I went back and forth with myself about it. Like, you know, why won't she just love me and all this stupid ass shit, right? But when I sat and thought about it, I said, you know what? It's not that she doesn't love me or anything like that. We just want different shit. That's all. We just want different shit. I want a more intimate, you know, strong family hole right now, and you still want to go through the motions. So we just want different shit, and that's okay. So immediately, once I had that thought, it was over. Never thought about it again. Never looked back about it.
All right, so Wendell, what about you? How's your cutoff game?
It's pretty tight. It's pretty tight because I mean, once I recognize that me and the person are not going to, that we don't need to relate on a level above, you know, anywhere above a certain level, then that's what it is. It's just, but that's just because I am learning and I am mastering the art of acceptance. You know, it's not going to do me any good to expect any more from a person than what they have demonstrated that they're able to give. And that's lunacy. That's me inviting disappointment. So yeah, let me just, you at a level 4. Okay, I'm gonna just let you be at your level 4. I'm going on to level 9. You know, if I ever need some level 4 type stuff, hey, then I know where to find you. But I'm not trying to pull you up to level 9 now with me. You're too heavy. Everybody that come with you can't go with you. So
absolutely,
I didn't have no problem with leaving you at the bottom of the mountain, at the base of the mountain while I go to the summit. I'll wave at you.
Hi, hater. No, you stop. Van Meadows, because I'm going to come around because I want to talk to Tanya and Joan because I know that they got super cutoff games. But I then.
Yeah, man. I got a strong cutoff game. It's so strong that I can act like the shooting never even existed, period. Number block, no contact, nothing, not even email. You can't connect. You can't get me. So, I'm not trying to give a person an opportunity to continue hurting me or disrespecting me or just downright just not be the one. And if that's what you desire to be, I don't need your energy in my life. Period. Man, I wish I could do that with one of my kids' mothers, but man,
just leave her at level 3, bro. You know, she's still gonna be your baby mama. Leave her at level 3. Don't try to pick up the level 6, level 9. Let her be a 3. Let her be a happy 3.
Appreciate you, bro.
The happiest 3 ever. Happiest 3 ever.
Right.
Ever. All right. I'm gonna go to Tanya and Joan about the cutoff game because Tanya said I'm the cutoff queen. So Tanya, what makes you the cutoff queen?
I have zero tolerance, as y'all say, for fuckery. Okay. You want to bring the hood out of me? Try to play me. That's. I will say this, game recognized game. So I'm a reformed many things. I will say that. I'm a reformed many things. So I can see when you trying to show me. I'm just going to be real. I know me enough. I know what I desire, and I won't settle, and I won't negotiate. I don't negotiate with terrorists. If you plan to terrorize my life, there's no negotiation. And I can peep game real quick. So therefore,
No, I just don't. And I feel no ways tired about it. Perfectly fine. And then concerning baby mamas and baby daddies, my ex-husband, now granted my son is 22, but when I say cut off game strong, I cut that nigga off and was like, listen, I don't need nothing from you. Not nothing. You don't have to give me nothing. I will raise my son. God has blessed me with the ability and the knowledge to make money. So therefore, I need nothing from you. Now, did I absolve him? No, I didn't. The door is open, but I ain't asking you for shit. You ain't got to do nothing. That's between you. That's just how good my cutoff game is. I ain't worrying about that. You ain't benefiting me. Keep it pushing. Bye-bye. And as far as the avalanche that Wendell was talking about, I'm going to the summit, and I'm afraid that an avalanche doesn't occur while I'm on my way up. If it does, it was nice knowing you.
Oh, shit. Damn. Jones. Jones, you cut off the game, Jones.
Okay, so is some music playing? Can y'all hear
that? I got this. Yeah, that's what I got to get on the background.
It's in the plane. Okay.
I'm listening, y'all. I'm about 2 glasses deep. You know what? I'm going to say this. It really depends on the position that you have in my life. Like, I've been involved with some people that I was 100% wide open to. Like, you know, like, we just were what it was at that time. And I'm still able to be cool with them. Because I think at the end of the day, I'm really just that cool. Like, when I start fucking with you on whatever level it is, I let you know that you are now on that level. Like, I'm almost like a Hindu when it comes to certain shit. Like, you're not going to go past level 3 with me ever. I don't give a fuck what you do. So I don't even have to demote you or leave you because you were never going to move from that level. But if you do some shit, and this really is not even about my relationship status, because, you know, niggas come and go for me. So that was, you know, in my former life, I was born differently. But, like, the only people that I really strongly have to cut off are the people that, you know, they say I'm related to them or some shit like that. So they the ones for me. Like, when I cut them motherfuckers off, they off. I mean, when I say off, I mean off the fuck off. Like, my mama used to die. And I was like, well, listen, I'm going out of town, so if y'all plan a funeral when I'm going out of town, there's no reason for me to come back. And that was my mama's sister. And people like your aunt, no, my mama had a sister.
So, Francis, Miss Francis, what's your cutoff game look like?
Oh, my cutoff game is my sister didn't say that I'm mean. I just don't give a fuck. Once you hurt me, my life and my feelings just turn off. Like, I don't give a damn. I had a situation one time where me and this guy, we dated. And I knew he had took my car. He got me off at work. And, you know, he was going to hang with his homies or whatever. I was like, okay. But he was late picking me up. So I said, something ain't right. So I remember how I left the bed. And when I got home, I looked at the bed. I said, you slept here last night? He said, yeah. I said, All of a sudden, the next day, he did the same thing. I looked at him. I said, you coming from over there where she at, huh? He looked at me. He said, huh? I said, you coming over there from where she at? He just looked at me. He just kind of shook his head. And I knew I shouldn't have did it, but I did. Man, my wife and he was balled up, and the side of his head just hit the window. Went to the house, got his clothes, told him you got to go. Told him I forgive you, but you got to move around. And I didn't feel no type of way. It was just like whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, M.O.D.
It was one of them.
We can't get away with
that. I'm one of them.
Well, see,
Dude can't get away with that right there.
No, you know what? And I take my L for this because I shouldn't have did it. I should have handled it a little differently. And I think what it was because I was so pissed off because, dude, you got my car and you're going over here to the third female. I got a problem with it. And at the moment, I wasn't thinking. I know I was just pissed, and I just reached over and touched him.
I've never
put my hands on nobody, you know. I don't like that because I know I don't want nobody putting their hands on me, and I shouldn't have did that. I mean, the only other situation, and I know this is bad too, but my kid's father, him and the girl I used to hang with, I literally was in Odessa, Texas, and I woke up out of my sleep. I was at my dad's house. I woke up out of my sleep, and I called him. I said, man, I just had the weirdest dream. He said, what was that? I said, I had a dream that you and old girl was fucking. And he said, what? And the way he answered me, Luke told me that he was lying. So when I got back home, I found out that they really were. And one night, I was so pissed. His car was parked right in her backyard, so I put that on flat, went and knocked on the door, and they wouldn't come out the house, so I unloaded, and I just went on walking up the street. And that morning, his homeboy told me he heard some gunshots, and he told me, he said, man, that was crazy. And they asked him, man, what have you done? That's when I knew I had to move around. I couldn't do it. Because if you could take me to that level, so I didn't give a fuck. I don't. Now, that was years ago. Like a long, 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 long time ago.
And she said that story like it was fresh.
My son is 27. That happened when my son was, he had just turned 3.
Oh. All right, just the relativity of seasons. That recall was fresh. That was vivid. You know? That was
right.
That was commentary movie type recollection.
Okay. Like I told him, it would have been different had it been with a female that I didn't know because I wouldn't be able to call her. But because it was somebody that we hung together and y'all in my face, I don't like that. Don't be in my face skinning and grinning and you doing fuckery behind my back. I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, I'm going to piggyback off of that because I was having this conversation earlier. And one of my former associates, I'm gonna just put it that way, like for some strange reason, he was always pursuing people that I had dealt with, right? And so the one person, this happened, it happened a long time ago, almost 20 years ago, right? The person, he knew this person was the love of my life, right? And they was just holding me off, like they wasn't trying to get back to me, you know. To be told, I was a cad. I did all kinds of stuff. I was doing twit type shit, asshole shit. But he literally decided to sleep with her. And the way he did it, I'm not even going to mention it. But every person that I dealt with that he knew, he tried to get with. Have you ever had someone in your life like that? Like someone who was supposedly homeboy, homegirl, but they was always trying to talk to someone that you was talking to? Trying to interject themselves in your conversation or relationship.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened to you?
Yep.
Yeah, it did. On a couple times.
Nah, that's why I don't have a lot of male friends. So.
Yeah, I'm not friends with them. Yeah.
In my situation, my girlfriend supposedly went behind my back, slept with dude, and then later on she found out that because he wasn't a boyfriend, he was just, you know, fuck buddy. And then she found out that I was with him again, and then she got an attitude with him. Like, he wasn't supposed to return to me after she'd been there. Yeah, and then I had one other girlfriend who knew that this guy was somebody that I'd been with, and then she gonna tell me after she does it, oh, I just had to test drive to see what it was like.
Across the city. I will.
Right, because if you're going to do it, you could have told me before. And I would have been fine. Because you don't belong to me.
Yeah.
Before
the streets.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to just stick with one of
those things. They have girls. The taste of that woman, I would never sleep behind that, because some of the stuff she got in her life, I don't even know. She'd be picking some of the craziest people on earth. And then you always get fine men. Well, you do take whatever comes your direction. That's your fault.
Oh, no, that's crazy. All right. I got one more crazy thing to go in here real quick. What would you do if your current mate brought their ex and the child that they have with the ex to stay at your house without your permission?
My child can stay, but if I got to go.
Oh, shit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me think about that.
Everybody else got to go.
Oh, I don't.
I mean, it's in God's hands. After that, like, really, after that, it's in God's hands. You know.
I know the feedback is real bad, probably because we got so many mics open, or somebody has a phone that has a serious echo on it because it's reverberating. Because I'm on a landline, so I know it's not me. But we got a little bit of echo.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Let me make sure I rephrase the question. Right. The person who you don't get along with, right, that's giving you problems, that mate is a straight up dick and a narcissist, and decides without your permission, and then tells you about it after they're already on the way, that the ex and the child is coming to stay in your house. What,
like, just let him know when he
do.
Just let him know when he get here. The child can stay, but he got to keep moving. He got to find somewhere else to stay. And if that ain't good enough, you can go with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for me,
that part.
I guess for me, it's in God's hands. What I do after that is in God's hands, for real. It's really. The child doesn't deserve what's going to happen, but the two individuals deserve what's going to come to them.
Yeah. All I got to say is, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and please forgive me for what I'm about to do.
You know, the crazy thing is, why would that person even allow that? Especially if you have already expressed to them how you feel a certain way about that individual, what would make you think that it's okay?
It's the audacity.
Right.
Where I have the disconnect with the entire question is, am I having a problem with my spouse and then they invite their ex and their child to my house? Is that the question?
The spouse decided to do that to rattle the cage, to make
right.
that person
feel
right.
So here's the thing.
Resist.
At the point when you don't respect or treat me like we in a relationship, then there's nothing left for me to do because we're not in a fucking relationship. Like, sometimes people need to draw the fucking line and stop playing with people all the damn time. That's how motherfuckers end
right.
up being.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because
right.
you got no time with me, no motherfucking time.
One. Yeah, you're poking at
like
the
when
bear.
When you rattle this cage, know that that motherfucker finna swing open. That's what the fuck it is. The gate keeps one of us safe.
Yeah, I hear that.
Really, a spouse I mean,
bullshit.
Really?
Some people just thrive on bullshit.
People only do to you what the fuck you allow.
Yeah, this sounds like a weaponized hands.
That's what you do. You weaponize your hands after that. Your hands, you can weaponize.
I'm going to weaponize this healing you're going to need.
So I'm going to have to bless you with some healing. I got to bruise you first.
You heal me properly. Hey, you're walking over, but you're limping back.
Every fire you set, you just don't get smoke.
Sometimes your ass get burnt. Know that.
That's true.
First of all, you can't invite nobody to my house.
Come through.
Ain't no way.
I am working on being an evolved person. But I'm sorry, that tests even my boundaries right there. And I'm a pretty easygoing guy, but don't show up at my door with your ex or with your ex dude and y'all's baby talking about you said that you could stay in my house? Yeah, that's a special kind of stupid right there.
Yeah,
you're right about that.
Mm.
Listen, it gets crazy. Mm. I feel crazy. All
I would
right, so.
Handle it. A, I would actually handle it a little bit different.
You sound nice.
How would you handle it?
Yeah. First, I wouldn't judge it. First, because if we're like that, that should be said. So if that's the case, maybe. You know, she didn't want to tell me because maybe it's a connect that the son and the dad have, or I don't know the situation or what's going on. I don't know if he don't want to be away from his dad. I don't know what's up because everything is just happening. The only thing that I do know is that my only concern would be the kid. Now, he can stay. It could be whatever. It's going to be nice, but the next day, she's just going with them. That's all. The only thing I did was everything was for the kid to make sure the kid was comfortable. But I don't owe y'all shit. This is retarded.
Mm-hmm. Man, fuck it. Bitch, stop playing with me.
I remember one time.
I came to pick up my kids, right? I came to my ex's door, right? And I came to pick up my kids. And she said that the 19-year-old gangbanger that she was banging said, oh, they not coming because he has to talk to them. I said, listen, I will tear everything up. He ain't got nothing to say. I said, he's only a few years older than them. He ain't got nothing to say. Not only does he have nothing to say, they better be down here. Like 5 minutes. Like, and the crazy thing, I was yelling it up the stairs, and I was hoping that he would come down the stairs, but I think he knew better than that. And then the next day I know, my oldest son was like, he's like, message received. Message received. He came downstairs. You know. Because there's two things for certain. Like my son knows if I'm about to get amped, I'm gonna be amped. So I said, hey man, be down here in 5 minutes. My son's like, message received, and put his coat on. he's like, yeah. And then my daughter's like, Dad, I don't know why you like that. Why are you so much like that? And I said, listen, nobody can tell me. I said, you can't be. I was like, you couldn't even be married to her and tell me what to do with y'all. You know, the funny thing is I learned that lesson from my brother. Like when I was real young, like my cousin Samira was talking to my brother and telling my brother, let them kids have candy. And my brother amped up crazy. You know, and he's a special forces Marine. So my grandfather was the only person who could calm him down. He said, "You never tell me what to do with my kids." And I was just like, "Yo." And it just left me an indelible remark, like, "Yo, nobody could ever tell me what to do with my kids, my household, or anything else." You know, you negotiate it, but you definitely can't bring up somebody in here and you trying to rattle me. Nah, that's not going to happen. I'm like, they not going to be there or I'm not going to be there. That's the choice. That's it. But anyway, we're going to end this on a great note. We're going to end this on a very nice note. So if you can have the relationship of your choice, right, your choice, what would it look like, right? And so we got to do some brief answers because it's a school night. And young Pharrell is getting on my nerves, so I'm ending this quickly. So we're just gonna run down the line. So if you can have the relationship of your choice, right, of all the things that you want, what would it look like? Wendell.
Well, let's see. The relationship of my choice. So I'm poly, so ideally, two local partners and an LDR or a comet in a parallel dynamic where everyone knows each other, knows what is going on, but not requiring a kitchen table situation. And that we come together on some of our basic goals, desires, and we share some common aspirations that we all want to work towards, and that we just contribute to each other's happiness and forward progress as the situation dictates and deems necessary. But that's me. Hello?
Hello? I was on mute. My bad. I was on mute. I threw some gay show applause. That's a good applause. I said, Van Meadows, your best relationship choice, what would it look like?
Oh, man. Honestly, a lot of loyalty, respect. And a woman that's actually going to stand up and challenge me as a man. Not just agree just to agree because she wants me happy, but have an opinion. Have some input into the relationship. I don't want a vegetable. I don't want somebody to act like they're just there just to be there. Wendell said something that was very, very key. He said, contributing to each other's happiness, which means that we have to already be happy within ourselves. And I say this all the time. We should be an added component to each other's happiness. I'm not there to make you happy. I'm there to assist and compliment you already being happy and vice versa. For me. That's what it would look like for me.
All right, that's what's up. I'll throw some applause on that. Watch. For the next award council, I'm going to be dropping bombs like Punk Flex. Watch. Anyway, Danielle, relationship of choice, what would that look like?
Well, since Poetic stole my words, no. Yeah, my relationship it's gonna be, can I say challenging? Not so much challenging, but it's always gonna be something going on. It's gonna be happiness. It's gonna be we're gonna express a difference of opinion. But we're always going to come. We're going to find a common ground. It's gonna be alright. Like I say, it's gonna be alright.
No, that's good. Matter of fact, all right. So we're gonna go from you to Lisa Lips. Relationship choice.
I think
best of it.
For me, it has to be somebody who understands that I am a quirky person, that I may want to be a 6-year-old one day, and I may want to be a grown-up next. And it's going to have to be somebody who has a mutual love and respect for the arts, because the arts are going to always be a part of who I am. And somebody that we can mutually agree on things and find a common ground that works for us both. Nobody is the boss. We all have our opinions, and we need to find some common ground on things. You know, the compromise is real in relationships, and you have to find what works for the greater good of both of you. Something like that, somebody who understands that sometimes you just have to put the other person first.
Okay. That's what's up. All right, we're going to go to you, Tanya. What would be your perfect relationship choice?
Strong, articulate.
Okay, all y'all sound like robots. I'm sorry.
No, she sounds fine. I mean, no, she sounds good.
Godly, mm-hmm. as y'all say, D. Down for whatever, respectful. Did I miss it? Articulate and intelligent. It's something about intellect. I'm such a sapiosexual. He has to be intellectual. But he got to be my homie level friend. Like, we just Bonnie and Clyde on a good side. That's what I was.
Sounds definitely good. All right, Joan.
So, I need someone, and I have someone who is working towards being their healthiest version of themselves, physically, mentally, financially, just looking to make good and great choices, like understanding that life is going to happen and nothing is perfect, but really on that path and constantly working through life, trying to go forward. And someone who always has my back publicly and knows how to reach and discipline me privately.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds
because
good.
The thing about, like somebody said something about loyalty, like loyalty is even when we disagree,
mm-hmm.
that's not for everybody
yes.
else to know.
That's right.
Absolutely.
For us to know.
That's right.
Like I'm always, and I'm when I say, you know, I'm really one of those people that, you know, Mojave will tell y'all, when I fuck with you, I fuck with you heavy. It's nothing light about me. So I need somebody who always understands that even if I'm through the roof mad at your ass, I'm still 10 toes down and I'm willing to kill for what's mine.
I know that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta be mine, though. You gotta be mine.
Right.
Like, no questions. I don't do questionable behavior. I don't do questionable behavior. Like y'all said, fuckery, I get it. But my shit is if a question sneaks into my mind about how you feel about me, that's because you haven't made yourself clear. Because I'm always make me clear.
Mm-hmm.
So I need a motherfucker that always hone in on clarity being key.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And until he showed me something different, he's still around.
Oh, that works. That works. Wow. All right, so now we're going to go over to MOD, Mother of Dragons. Relationship choice. What would a perfect relationship look like for you?
Yeah, ideally I would love two men, you know, that would be, both teachers, both who bring intellect, both who can reach my spleen, both who can stimulate me, bring the light out of me, because I can tend to be a Sith Lord at times, but bring the light out of me and show me how to be a better person, show me how to, and lead by example, and just, that will respect me and I can respect them. And that's just, and I love romantic men. So, if you're romantic, that's even better. So that would be a perfect situation for me. Perfect.
Wow. All right. So, we're going to go over to Brian. Perfect relationship choice. What does it look like?
Jesus Christ, everybody all deep and shit. All right, I'm going to just keep mine short. A bunch of fucking, a bunch of touching, a bunch of laughing, because if we laughing, I know we can cry together. A bunch of kissing, a bunch of hugging. Did I mention a bunch of fucking? A bunch of fucking.
You didn't leave that out at all.
A bunch of talking. A bunch of talking. We have to talk. We have to talk. Yeah. I love to exchange energy and information with my woman because it makes me feel so much more intelligent than anything I can go through throughout the day. I'm in Atlanta. Okay. And the last few things is fucking, because communication is key, and that's how we communicate all the time. We stay connected that way.
I get you on that. I get you on that. We hit you loud and clear.
Absolutely.
Wow. All right.
So, but I'm sorry. I was confused on one of your points. Now, did you say that fucking was supposed to be a part of that?
You know what? Yeah, but it go before the third fucking, bro. You got to make sure it go before that. I said it wrong.
It was before the third fucking.
It was the fourth one.
It was the third one.
Yeah.
Right,
it was the fourth.
There was fucking, and then it was fucking. And then there was fucking. And then there was fucking. So I just wanted to make sure that I understood.
Exactly.
Wow.
That's that South, right. That's that South thing right there. That's that Southern thing.
So we're going to go over to Miss Francis. Miss Francis, your relationship choice, what would be the perfect relationship?
Oh, let's see. Well, being that I am in a relationship, we have a lot of goofiness because we goofy as hell. But not to say that one day she won't wake up and decide she want to go somewhere else, or if that was to happen, the kind of relationship that I would want would be a person who can accept honesty. Honesty is not high on people's priority list. And when you're honest with somebody, they tend to take it as you're criticizing them. So it has to be somebody who can accept honesty, somebody that is just as goofy as I am, don't mind being in a crowded place and we just bust out singing and dancing for no damn reason. Or even get in the movie, doing some TikToks, anything. But also a person who knows how to communicate, a person who is in touch with their, their emotional side. They don't hold everything in. And a person that loves to smile and laugh, skip down the street holding hands. He's doing the stuff that people normally don't do, such as taking walks, you know, sitting outside in the summertime looking at the stars, even though we ain't got many. But, you know, just being a whole down-to-earth type person. No judgment. Love flaws. That's basically it. Because we can always grow together. We can grow together financially, you know, and material shit. That don't really mean much to me. Like, I'm the type of person, I actually don't even like shopping. So I can care less about all that. But as long as we get along.
Mm. Yeah, that works. All right. So let me just end this with my conversation. The funny thing is we talked about the green flags we're having, and most of the green flags I thought was really dope what we had put on, and that was December 7th, and we were talking about, you know, the difference between it. And, most of the stuff you guys mentioned already, being able to have a good conversation, selflessness, consideration, being able to agree to disagree, being exciting, adventurous, authentic, enthusiastic, acceptance, and appreciation. You know who wrote that, right? You know who wrote that. Super eloquent, super eloquent brother, which is dope. Y'all are so fucking dope. I just have to say, y'all are some dope-ass people. The shit y'all come up with and everything that y'all talk about, it's just so, it's wise, it's wisdom, it's a lot of stuff. Like, I find myself practicing gratitude to combat so many different things that are happening in my life right now. So this stuff is the stuff that makes me, keeps me afloat, makes me buoyant to be around so many bright, vibrant, incredibly dope personalities. It makes everything else. That's why I was like, when people like, yeah, what do you mean when you wrote that on your thing? I said, it's always a construct, can be, you know, dismantled and reconfigured by joy. It's real shit. And I get joy when I do this. I hope it's as fun as for you as it is for me. I love doing it. I love hearing your different perspective. It's like eating. It's like eating with your mind and your soul all the time. So it's really dope. So when I'm looking at this green flags list, y'all came up with some shit. Like, this should actually be published. Like, for real. Like, go where you're celebrated, not tolerated. Being able to accept constructive criticism. Can you evaluate me when I'm unable to elevate myself? Can you ask for help? Not be a yes person for your family. Having truly intellectual conversation. Having confidence. Got to be into the arts. Can you handle the truth about a situation when you're being told about it? Do you have social awareness? Do you have good taste in music? Are you passionate about the arts? Can we be friends? You know, do you like me as a person? Do you respect me and my character?
Absolutely.
You know, do you know me? Do you have an open mind? Will you be a student of me being able to be reciprocated? Are you able to learn? Right? So all of these things are super dope. I'm just going to add, this is my shit to add on top of it, right? I got to want to dance with you. And you got to be a good dancer. I'm just like, there's something about being able to dance with someone close in tandem energy. Yeah. There's a rhythm I want you to understand my rhythm so you get it. I want to be able to dance with you and feel like you're the only person in the entire room that I'm dancing with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to, you know, I need you to eye fuck me. I need that. I need you to see me and eye fuck me across the room. You got to eye fuck me. I'm sitting here like, I'm like, oh, you know, because, you know, we have conversations with our eyes.
Exactly.
I want you to see me across the room talking about, like, and then text me like, nigga, you see me over here. You better come get me. We got to go do this. And then we can do what Brian says, and we can go over here.
Right.
You got to have that. You got to have that because that's important.
Yeah.
You have that connection. You look at somebody, you be like, yo, you look at somebody, you be like, I see you. Like, come here. I need you to give me the snuggles.
Yeah.
You know, because men need the snuggles too. I need you to give me the snuggles.
Yeah.
when I need it. When you see me in it, you just get up underneath me and be like, and tell me what I mean to you and how much I belong to you and how much you love me right in the moment I need it. So it makes me want to go out there and smash the world. I'm like, fuck the world. It's us, you know. I need that.
Absolutely.
I need that affirmation that affirms me as a man, my character, my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit, and makes me be who I need to be at all times. I need you to be a coach when I'm fucking up. And I don't need you to admonish me. I need you to affirm me. Well, put your foot squarely in my ass so I get the fuck going. Get going. Be like, get going. It's about us. Like, I need that same shit. You know, I need that same shit that you know when you see, like you see a person, you know, you be mad, but you still be doing shit anyway. And I need you to be mindful. I don't need nobody who ain't mindful, who don't be thinking about shit when it's supposed to be happening. They just be thinking about themselves. If you selfish, stay your ass where you at.
I know that's right.
Absolutely.
You are.
Indeed, my brother.
You know, be funny. Make me laugh. Like, if you can make me laugh, if you can make me all out laugh and chuckle, like, y'all know when I laugh, like, I don't hold nothing back if it's funny. Like, I get blessed in two shits. I'm a laugh, right? I'm a fucking laugh. I give no fucking shits about that because I'm like, yo, listen, I'm a joy addict. You make me laugh, it's good. Like, I'll be like, yo, this shit is funny as shit. I don't even know what it is. Like, be cool enough to laugh. Be cool enough to laugh at yourself. And be
That's
cool
right.
to say something and be cool with your shit. Be cool with your shit. You know what I'm saying? Do it. But also let me know. Excuse my terminology. I'm going to say this, and no offense to my beautiful women, my queens. You know, be for me.
Right.
Be a bad bitch.
That's right.
Be that motherfucker. When you walk in the door, look at me like, you know what? Bad shit is about to happen to you. And I'm like, what kind of bad shit?
Right.
I'm going to be like, what kind of bad shit?
Right.
You be like, yo, the type of shit that just makes me just put my phone down and not pay attention to shit. Be like, nigga, where's you at? I don't know. I lost a few days. But I'll be back.
Right.
What happened?
Right.
I'll be back.
One.
Absolutely, though. It should be like
you know,
that part. Keep it, man,
you, know,
you should keep it interesting all the time.
Man, let's massage and rub each other and soothe each other. Listen, you gotta have a good taste in music. That's all I'm saying. You gotta have a good taste in music and you gotta have a good taste in food. Don't be eating no bullshit. Don't be in here talking about, yeah, you know, I need some hog's maw. You need what? You got to go. You got to
the
worst go. You got to carry your ass up on out of here. No, do that. But you know, like, be mentally sexy. Like the physical accomplishment,
right.
Be mentally sexy. Maybe say some shit. I'll be like,
yes,
ooh,
God.
Nigga.
Say that
shit. Me think twice.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I like nerdery. I like Marvel nerdery. I like anime. Like, if you've got some nerdery shit going on and you nerd on top of your nerd, oh, shit, you got to give me some booty.
Man.
I need that.
Man.
Give me some booty. I need it.
Yo.
Got to have it.
And then you look at me with them glasses on. Oh, my God.
And say funny shit to me. Be like, nigga, you got about a half an hour to get home or you ain't getting no booty. As a matter of fact,
I'm home.
When you get home, I'm taking the booty. I'm taking it. Yo, it just hung up on us. Crazy. Yo, I don't even know how this happened, but the blog talk lady hung up the whole. She's like, fuck y'all.
Yeah, it's open. 12 o'clock, it's over. But we still be here, so.
Yeah.
Nah, that's cool. But nah, it was a dope show. It was a super dope show. I enjoyed y'all. Thank y'all for coming. I wasn't even supposed to be on here this long. I know Young Pharrell was running around in the background. Y'all couldn't hear him, but he was running around in the background. How long is it going to take? I'm like, nigga, I'm driving you to school tomorrow. Shut up. Driving you to school tomorrow. The school bus for you. I'm like, you can sleep till 9. But you better wake up by 9:05. You have your clothes on by 5:15 because it takes 10 minutes to get to school. Anyway, as long as you get there before 9:25, you're not late. Yeah, that's why you gotta send your kid to a white school, because you know you go to black school, they be like 8:15. You late. You late.
Uh-huh.
Come in here. Yeah. Well, classes don't start till 9. You're still late. You're still late. Anyway, thank y'all for coming. Y'all are truly dope. I fucks with y'all hard, right? But the long way, as I would say to Joan, I fucks with you the long way. That's how it is. But, you know, this has been dope. I can't wait to do it again. I will be in a different location, by the next one. So I'm going to see how that works out, because I will no longer have a landline. I will be in a whole different place altogether. Weird, but true. And I'll keep y'all posted, but I think we should be able to do the same thing. I don't know if it'll be a stable, but we're going to try. I'm changing all kinds of setups, so I'm getting a whole different setup for my laptop to do this, so it should work out. It's my Christmas gift. We're going to work this out. But I love you guys. I love you guys. Bye. Don't forget to see you next time. Don't forget, and Tuesday, come through for the Christmas show.
Love all y'all.
Fuck out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all. Talk to y'all soon. Thank y'all. Get up in the chat. We'll talk. I'll holler at y'all later. God bless y'all. Good night.
One night. God bless.
Hello.
All right.
God bless y'all all.
One love, guys.
I love you guys.
All right.
Bye.
One love, y'all.